Hey, you guys. It's Sunday.
Yeah.
Kind of a lazy Sunday.
Yeah. I was down at the biker bar, though.
Well.
I was riding around.
I was working, so it wasn't really lazy. Yeah.
You worked the whole time?
Yeah.
Not the whole time. What were you doing?
I made an edited video. Oh, okay. I made, like, a couple other videos. Yeah. And, yeah, I was working on a book.
What about the shirts? Haven't got around to shirts yet?
No, I keep forgetting. Okay. I have a million other things I'm going to do.
How remind you?
It's like, you know, I don't really... They take a really long time to do. Design them, so it's kind of like...
All right. Yeah, DJ's in there and said he saw Blood Vessel. He said that movie was highly recommended. He liked it. He finally got around to seeing it. That's a good movie.
Yeah, that is a very good movie.
Told you, man. A Strahgoy is a fucking better monster than a vampire. I mean, it could have sex with a dead body and give birth to a fucking child. That's some weird shit. You can have two Strahgoys fucking having sex with each other and give birth to a living Strahgoy, or a fucking living Strahgoy could have sex with an undead and fucking give birth to a fucking child. It's fucking weird, man. Strahgoy had families. That's some weird shit.
I was telling him just now that there was I was flipping through Tubi earlier looking for movies to review, and there's a movie on there called Strahgoy.
Yeah.
But I said, from the artwork, it looks like it's probably terrible, but I'm not really sure. Yeah. It might be one of those kind of like, what do you call them, asylum-like ripoff movies? I'm not really know.
And then, like, then it tops itself. Not only does it have natural abilities that you're born with as a Strahgoy, it also understands magic. It can cast a spell. That's some fucking bizarre shit there.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got, like, kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Gonna open up this RC Cola. That's right.
Yeah, we got a fridge full of RC.
The official soda of Burt Reynolds. That's right. This is some southern shit here, man. From Georgia. They're saying, oh, that's from Iowa. No, Georgia. The original RC Cola was from Georgia.
Okay. It doesn't really matter if you like it. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
Even got the 70s old school said. I remember when it looked like that.
I kind of feel like a lot of brands are kind of going back to their sort of retro, because I think Burger King did that and a couple of them. They're not exactly the same, but they do try to make their logo look more like retro.
Yeah, because the 90s can sucked. It was just blue with a red R and a C. It looked like it was airbrushed on there. It looked like shit.
Yeah, well, I wasn't a big fan of like 90s graphic design generally.
No. It looked like something from Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Like a special at Taco Bell. Taco Bell had terrible fucking graphics.
TV says, damn, they still make RC? Yeah, apparently.
Hell yeah.
So. I didn't know they did either, but...
RC.
There's the proof right there. He just bought them at the Dollar General.
The Redcoats bought it. It's owned by Schweppes now. It's British.
Schweppes is British, isn't it? Yeah, I guess it is. All right, okay. So we're talking about a movie. Mm. Now, I think... that I brought up this movie here, The First Power, back when we reviewed The Believers. Because I'm not going to say for whatever reason, because there's probably a reason, but I kind of conflate, I don't confuse them, but I kind of like The Believers and The First Power, even though they came out 3 years apart, like The Believers actually came out 3 years before this did, but I always kind of like put them together. I guess because it's sort of thematically similar in the sense that it's like a satanic, not necessarily satanic, but it's like cult murder type situation. And it's kind of like a police procedural thing with supernatural elements. So I guess that's why like I put those two things together.
It's a good movie.
But I think back when we were talking about The Believers, I said, oh, I should rewatch The First Power like one of these days because I hadn't seen it in a long time. Pretty sure I saw it in the theater when it first came out in 1990. But so when I was like scrolling through Tubi last night looking for something to watch to review, I'm like, oh, well, there it is, The First Power. And I was like, we're going to watch that shit and we'll see how it is, because I hadn't seen it for such a long time.
The movie takes you back.
Yeah.
It's kind of retro, you know what I mean? Like, and you forgot what movies in the early 90s were like.
It's still kind of 80s,
yeah,
gotta say. Kind of. I mean, because 1990 was still pretty 80s.
It's like very sophisticated 80s. You know, visually very sophisticated 80s. I liked it. It had a good score. The acting was pretty good. There was some shit that was not believable, like Lou Diamond Phillips. And I don't know how that motherfucker trained me into saying his middle name all the time. Lou Diamond Phillips. He's just like, yeah, you gotta say all three. You just can't say Lou Phillips. You gotta say Diamond and that shit. Fucking, I don't know how that happened, but he's not credible as a fucking as a police detective. He's far too young and good looking.
Well, I think that, and I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure how old he was when he made this film. But it's like, even if he was old enough to technically be a detective, he's kind of like baby-faced.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And he's bossing other cops around that are a lot older than him. You know, in reality, this guy would have been in his 50s and he'd have been skinny fat. You know, he wouldn't be hot-ass Lou Diamond Phillips at fucking 25.
With his black duster and his cowboy boots on.
That's not how it really goes. But it's a movie, you know. It's just a movie. You're watching it and you're going, yeah, I've been drinking.
It's,
yeah,
you're
watching it. You guys know that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
You guys know
because I'm sitting there going, no, you haven't. I was like, oh, yeah, you've been at the biker bar all day.
Yeah. Look, I got all kinds of free drinks.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got all kinds
What'd you have to do for that?
Nothing. Just fucking talking and entertaining people.
Did you pole dance or something?
No, I didn't. No, I wish. They'd have been owing me all kinds of money if I was pole dancing. Anyway.
You can, like, thrust your crotch at him and get, like, put some dollar bills in there.
Fucking with the damn jukebox going. But, like a cheap hoe.
Yeah.
But, no, Luke, I'm watching this shit, you know what I mean? It's taking me back to the 90s. I'll tell you what, though. It's a good movie. It doesn't really have any... What's refreshing about the movie is that there's absolutely no messaging at all. There's no social commentary. There's no political bullshit. It's just a story. Pure entertainment. So the movie actually runs pretty smoothly. Now, towards the last one-third of the movie there, it started to bog down a little bit in edit. It kind of slowed down, but then it picked back up. It's just the edit is not totally modern. It's not real correct, but it's still a good movie. It's a good movie.
It was actually better than I remember.
Yeah.
I sort of kind of remembered what it was about. It's essentially like a serial killer, like detective serial killer story.
Yeah.
But with supernatural elements. Want to say
demons.
It's kind of similar a little bit.
Yeah.
To Wes Craven's movie Shocker, which I think came out a year before this. Not exactly the same, but Shocker was also about a serial killer that gets electrocuted and then comes back to life or possesses people through electricity or something like that. It's been a long time since I've seen it. Another movie that this is like that came out much later was the Denzel Washington movie Fallen, which essentially had a killer that could jump from body to body. So he could, like, you know, their different identities and stuff. And that came out in 1998. And I think I saw that in the theater as well. But it's kind of similar to this. It's not exactly the same, but it's kind of like a similar setup.
There's a lot of late 80s, early 90s movies that feel like this, though. A lot of the movies of the early 90s felt like this.
Yeah, and I mean, this did pretty well, like, at the box office. I feel like it didn't really get that great of reviews at the time. And really, you don't hear... I'm sure it has, like, a small cult following, but you don't really hear a lot of people talking about it nowadays. I just kind of feel like it was one of those ones that fell through the cracks a little bit. But for whatever reason, just like The Believers, for some reason, I just, like, remembered something about it, and so I wanted to, like, rewatch it.
I think I saw this bitch in the theater.
I think I did as well.
I think I did, yeah. I remember everybody liking it. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
First Power, that's good. Oh, yeah. It was kind of like, what was the other one where the Serpent and the Rainbow was like kind of like that.
Yeah.
And what was the other one that was from the early 90s? It was kind of like this. There were just a lot of movies that were like this.
I kind of feel like I'm struggling to like remember some other ones, but I know there were. I feel like there was kind of like a little mini trend.
Yeah, it kind of felt like this.
Of sort of serial killer or police procedural type movies crossbred with like supernatural shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that started in the late 80s, but I do kind of feel like there was like a little bit.
Kind of like, what was the one, Seven? What was Seven Deadly Sins?
Although that was just a serial killer.
But it was kind of like that same police procedural, and there's killers in it.
And Silence of the Lambs, of course, which came out in 1991. Even that's not supernatural either. But...
No, and that movie was a lot better than this one.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, that movie is better than most movies.
Yeah, but it's just an enjoyable movie, you know?
Yeah. Hugo says La Bamba was okay, but I liked Lou Diamond Phillips since Young Guns. Yeah, a lot of Young Guns was actually really good. I haven't seen it in a long time.
He said Diamond.
But what?
He said Diamond.
Yeah.
That motherfucker makes you say his middle name every time.
Okay. What do you want me to do? Okay. That's what his name is.
I want to know how he got that done. Where he makes a motherfucker say his middle name every time.
Well, you could do that too if you wanted to.
Damn.
You could make your middle name, I don't know.
Just make my
middle... Cockknocker, and you could just make everybody call you Tom Cockknocker Ross.
Yeah, and I don't believe that Diamond is his real middle name. He made that up.
Well, you know, people can make up
whatever... I'm going to call my middle name like, yeah, I'm making something. Okay. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not going to say anything.
That's probably best.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, End of Days, Grampthers brings that up. Yeah. That was another one that was like a cop movie that was... Although that one was kind of terrible.
Yeah.
Even End though Gabriel Days, Byrne was in it, and I love Gabriel Byrne, but...
End of Days, isn't that the one that had Arnold in it?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah. That movie sucked.
Yeah, it was terrible. Honestly, I saw that one in the theater, too, and like I wanted to like walk out. I don't know. I just really didn't like it.
And I have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And,
well, because, you brought it on Blu-ray, and I said, well, I'll watch it again. I'll give it another chance. Because I just remember seeing it in the theater and being like, what the fuck was that all about?
Yeah, I wanted to have all the Arnold's old stuff. Yeah. So I bought that bitch on Blu-ray and watched it. And I was just like, the only thing that was good about it was the score.
Yeah.
It had good music. But I'm just going, man, this thing is a piece of shit. It's just fucking terrible.
It really is terrible.
Terrible.
But yeah, so this movie is a lot better than that.
Yeah.
Strawdog 78 says, I always confuse this with The Seventh Sign. That was one with Demi Moore, right? Honestly, I think somebody sent us that.
Yeah, we got it.
On DVDs. Yeah, and did we ever review it? I kind of thought we did.
I think we did, yeah.
But I can't remember if we did. If we didn't, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's
we'll get around to it.
We'll get it is in that realm. These movies of the Earth.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it was like a little bit of a mini trend for doing this.
Yeah, Lair of the White Worm was almost like these too, even though it was different. It had it was toward British. That bitch was British.
That was Ken Russell. That was like crazy as shit. And that was like folk horror. That didn't have anything to do with
Lair of the White.
That wasn't serial killer.
No, but I was just saying the way the movies. It was that same era, I guess.
Yeah.
But Lair of the White Worm also kind of reminded me in a way of fucking like a better version of Rawhead Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach says, oh, yay, two of my favorite people streaming about a movie I've never heard of. LOL, today's been so boring.
Fuck out.
Like I said, I kind of feel like it's weird.
It's free, man. Go ahead, watch it. It's
it's on
watching.
Tubi. And like I said, I saw it a long time ago. And honestly, I hadn't seen it in a long time. There's not a shit ton. Well, I don't know. There was a handful of other horror channels that covered this. And actually, there was one guy on there who I watch off and on. And he did like a 36-minute thing about it and how like he was really really into it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of nice.
Well, what's funny is that this is like he says I've never even heard of this movie. You know, when this movie came out, it was like a big deal.
I remember this being in Fangoria. It might have even been on the cover, or there was for sure like a big article about it.
When it was coming out, I remember all my fucking buddies like, oh man, we gotta see that. Oh, that's gonna be badass.
Ooh, Satanic Panic.
Well, yeah, you know, and fucking, it was kind of the flavor of the day. You're like, oh yeah, that was a good movie. And then quickly forgotten, replaced by another one. Might have had something to do with youth, you know, you're young, so it's a bigger impression on you. Probably didn't make any impression on anybody else, but we liked it.
And I still, and it obviously made some kind of impression on me because I remembered the title, like, after all these years. And, you know, and I actually went and watched it when I saw it come up. So, okay, so what the story about this is, Lou Diamond Phillips is playing a cop, and... so there's a serial killer who's called the Pentagram Killer, who's played by Jeff Kober, who always plays bad guys. I guess if you have a face that looks like that, you pretty much just always have to play bad guys and psychos, because he just has that kind of face, I guess. So this killer is going around, you know, killing people, obviously, and then carving pentagrams into their bodies. And quite near the beginning of the film, there's kind of this thing where Lou Diamond Phillips' character, who's, what's his name? Logan. Well, that's his last name. His first name is Russell, but they usually call him Logan. And he has a thing where he has this woman who you don't know who it is until later, but she keeps calling him, and she seems to know where the pentagram killer, where the pentagram killer is going to strike next. So he's kind of like thinking, is this serial killer's girlfriend? Like, what's going on with this? How does she know all this information? So at the beginning, they kind of have this big confrontation. One of the undercover cops gets almost murdered, and there's this big thing. And they do actually end up catching the serial killer quite near the beginning of the movie. Now, one of the things that the anonymous woman that kept calling him said, if you catch him, don't give him the death penalty. 5 minutes later, after they catch him, of course, he gets the death penalty. And Lou Diamond Phillips is like, woo, go us. You know, we're going to, like, give him the fucking death penalty. Obviously, like, several months have gone by. Because he gets stabbed and it's healed and all this other stuff. So what ends up happening is that they put him in the gas chamber. And he doesn't die. So what, it's kind of like a biblical thing, essentially. So the killer is trying to get, or did get, what is called the first power, which is resurrection. So he can resurrect himself, and also he has, I think this is how this goes, he also has the second power, which is possession. So he can actually, like, hop from person to person, and when he hops in the body, so he can continue, like, the killing after he's presumably already dead. So he's got, like, magic powers and shit. So, like I said, for a long time, Lou Diamond Phillips, obviously, as most normal people would, doesn't believe that the serial killer is still alive and is actually able to, like, possess people. And then he meets up with the anonymous woman, who turns out to be a psychic, who must make a lot of money psychicking, because she's got, like, a really, really big, awesome house with, like,
those
a
rich
beautiful...
psychics, yeah.
She's one of those rich psychics. Yeah, yeah. She must have some Sylvia Brown level shit or something like
this
that.
This is the funny thing. All right, I'm watching this movie, and I remembered being able to follow this movie as a kid and like, being able to, like, buy into it and to immerse myself into and keeping track of who's possessed and all this shit happening. Watching it as an adult, I wasn't buying it at all. You're like, yeah, right.
Well, I mean, it's the premise is kind of outlandish, but I mean,
it was of the time.
Yeah.
It was a movie of the time.
And it's just one of those, well, you know, the premise of a lot of movies, any horror movie or fantasy movie or anything like that is outlandish. So you just gotta, like, fucking roll with it, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to just, you know, you just have to accept the fact that this serial killer, by killing a whole bunch of people and sacrificing them to Satan, essentially, is what he's doing, he's able to get all these magical powers. And now I will say one thing. Yeah, so it does get crazier and crazier. Like, toward the end, there's a log.
I gotta
it's not a log flume. There's, like, a flying bag lady. It's a whole thing.
I gotta say some shit about it.
But what?
The best part of the fucking movie, that as soon as I saw it, it fucking brought me back. I remembered it. Is when one of the possessed guys, the demon dudes, pulls a fucking ceiling fan off of the ceiling. All right. Breaks it free of the fucking electrical wires and everything and holds it out in front of him, and the fan blade starts spinning fast as a motherfucker, and he's using it as a weapon. And I just started to fucking laugh.
Because I was like, wait, how does that work?
I said, he's magic.
He's magic.
I liked it, though. I remembered seeing
I liked that too. Like I said, he had supernatural powers.
Yeah, I remember seeing that as a kid, and it blew my fucking mind.
I thought we'd established that.
But seeing it as an adult was different, but it was, okay. I was like, all right.
I thought that was pretty great.
Yeah.
That was pretty great, to be honest. And as much as I made a joke about the flying bag lady, I actually really did like that scene.
Yeah.
Because he possesses this homeless woman that's, like, laying outside of his, outside of the psychics, or outside of his apartment building. And the bag lady is, like, flies up, like, toward the window, and then she busts through the window, and she's, like, jumping on and stuff.
There is some excellent fucking stunts.
Right? I was gonna say, some of the stunt work in this is incredible.
Dude jumps off a building and you can see from the shots that is a real man fucking falling. And then they, just as he hits the ground, they fucking cut away and a dude just lands on the ground and walks and runs off. Totally unarmed.
Yeah, because like I said, he's supernatural. And he jumps off like a 10-story building and then he just lands like, ta-da! Right.
And it was great. It was great editing. So you buy it. You're like, oh, wow, fuck.
I know. I saw that scene. I was like, holy shit.
You look good. Yeah.
Well, I will say one thing, though. Now, I don't know how easy it is to get this on Blu-ray. One of the other... We watched it on Tubi and I didn't have this issue. But I was watching another review of this and somebody had the Blu-ray edition. And they said the only problem is that the Blu-ray transfer is really, like, the HD transfer is so good that all of those stunts, you can see the wire.
Oh, there's wire?
Like, yeah, you can see the wire, like, on the guy. And I couldn't see it, like, on the Tubi version, but apparently on the Blu-ray because of, and I've, that's happened a lot. I've heard about that happening a lot with older movies. Where, you know, when they make the transfer to high definition, you can see a lot of stuff in there that you couldn't see, like when it played in the theater.
Like the black hole.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So apparently you can see all the wire work, like on all the stunts for this, which is kind of a shame because I was like really amazed. That where he jumps off the 10-story building and like just lands on his feet and runs off, that's a great fucking stunt. There's another really good stunt with like where they flipped a car and like the car like went, it got some air. I mean, it was way the fuck up there and like flipped the fuck over. And there was actually a stunt man in there. They didn't die, but I think they were wounded pretty badly for that. And the stunts in this are pretty fantastic. I really liked the score for this too, and I think you also pointed out that you liked, and because it's Stuart Copeland from The Police did the score for this, and it stood out to me as like being really good. Who else was in this? Like the guy that played his partner, I'm pretty sure who gets killed. But I'm pretty sure that guy was the same guy that played Bubba in Forrest Gump, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it might have been.
Because I was like, it was bugging me the whole time. I'm like, God, he's so familiar. And then I'm thinking, oh, I think that's Bubba. Now, the woman that plays the psychic is Tracy Griffith, who I think is Melanie Griffith's sister. Because the whole time I was like looking at her, I'm like, she looks like really familiar, but not quite. And if you see her, like, you'll know what I'm talking about, because I'm like, oh, well, it's obviously, it looks like Melanie Griffith, but it's not Melanie Griffith, so there's that. You know what's weird about this, too? So I was looking, researching the movie and everything. So this was directed by a guy named Robert Reznikoff. Now, this is apparently the only movie he ever directed. The only other thing he worked on, I think he did a couple short films. He wrote that horrible comedy Collision Course. Was it horrible? I kind of remember it was being horrible, but I don't remember that much about it. With Jay Leno and Pat Morita. He wrote that. I don't think he directed it. And he directed this, and then he essentially, like, disappeared. Like, not in a, Unsolved Mysteries kind of way, but I think he just, like, fucked off to Europe, like, to Prague or something. And I heard that he fucked off to Prague and started writing books about, like, weird, esoteric, religious, and occult practices. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I heard. So this is, like, the only movie he ever directed, which I thought was kind of strange. I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't that good an experience. I don't know. It's, like you said, there were a lot of other movies that were kind of similar to this that came out around this time period, like, late 80s to early 90s. Probably up until 1996 when Scream came out and everything started going like back in a meta slasher type of direction. But I feel like during the late 80s and early 90s, there were a lot of these serious, like I said, like police procedural serial killer movies, but with a religious or an occult element to them. It's almost kind of like it was a little mini thing. And this was actually, like I said, better than I remembered. I didn't love some things about it. I thought the pacing was a little odd. And I didn't think that Tracy Griffith, who played Tess, the psychic, I didn't think she was all that great. You know what I mean? She seemed a little awkward or a little not, maybe that's just me. But everybody else in it was pretty good. And honestly, I really liked a lot of the kind of setups. Like, I really like when one of the cops gets killed and the serial killer, who is supernatural at this point, like, leaves him, not really crucified, but kind of, like, hanging up, like, on this bridge overpass, like, or underpass, and it's, like, way, way the fuck up in the air, and they're just like, how the fuck did he get him up there? Like, they can't figure it out. So, I don't know. There was just something, like, really cool about it. Now, apparently, I don't know a lot about this, but apparently this had a different ending. I don't know what the ending was originally, because I don't think it survived. And apparently, Lou Diamond Phillips, I think, has done an interview about this where he's like, I don't even remember what the original, ending was like. But I guess the original ending, they thought it was a little meh, so they reshot it. So now it has that thing where they bust open the thing in the whatever the tunnels and all the water comes through there, and it's like a big fucking water slide where they're all kind of like all sliding through there and shit. And so So there's that. And then I forgot there's like a nun in this too, right? Yeah, I forgot. She's only at the like very beginning. She's the only, she comes to the cardinals, bishops, whoever the hell, and she's like, Satan's like farting around and doing some shit and you guys should do something about it. And they're just like, no.
Yeah, they don't believe in it.
Go back to your,
Yeah, they don't believe in it.
Go back to your, what do they call it where the nuns live? Convent. I almost said coven. I don't know why. I'm getting brain damage, you guys. Yeah. I'm like, I keep using, like, the wrong fucking word for shit. It started with the same letter, but you know what I'm saying. But, yeah, some people say, oh, Josie says Split Second with Rutger Hauer is another good one. I've been wanting to actually do that one for a while, because I think that's on Tubi as well. And I remember really liking that movie. And I, you know, I like Rutger Hauer a lot. And Zach said that Lou Diamond Phillips was really hot. So... Yeah, I kind of feel like he had a moment as, like, a heartthrob.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, in the late 80s, particularly right around the time, like, La Bamba came out. When did La Bamba come out? 86?
I don't know. He wasn't quite Rat Pack, but close.
Yeah, he was, like, Brat Pack. That was, like, Rob Lowe and Molly Ringwald and Emilio Estevez. And
he was, like, a little bit after
Ally Sheedy a little bit. Yeah, I kind of feel like he was just kind of on the outsides.
Yeah.
With him and Kiefer Sutherland and all that kind of stuff.
And, like, fucking dude that got fucking all fucking Tiger Blood. What was his name?
Charlie Sheen.
He's like that.
Now I'm trying to think. When I think of Brat Pack, I usually think of everybody that was in St. Elmo's Fire.
Right.
And the people that were, like, in the John Hughes movies. To an extent. But then there were, like you said, there were these other ones that were, like, around the periphery.
Right.
Like Charlie Sheen and stuff like that. That weren't, I don't think they were necessarily part of the Brat Pack, but it was kind of thing. I do think I remember seeing, like, teen magazines, like, teen girl magazines...
Yeah,
in the late 80s or that had Lou Diamond Phillips like on the cover, I think, if I'm remembering.
I think he was Mexican, wasn't he?
I thought he was Filipino, but I could be wrong about that. Gotcha. Somebody should probably look that up. I thought he was Filipino, but I might be totally talking about out of my ass.
Yeah.
As sometimes I do. Yeah, Stardog 78 also said Fallen. Yeah, because, I kind of feel like the one guy I was watching that reviewed this movie, he seemed like very inordinately upset that Fallen with Denzel Washington had essentially, like, ripped off this movie, you know, many years later, because, like I said, that was 8 years later. And I kept, you know, I can't really say I haven't seen Fallen in a long time. I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I don't think I've seen it since then. But from what I could remember, it's pretty similar. It's pretty similar, the plot, to this. It's, you know, it's essentially like a satanic serial killer that can jump from body to body, like possess people. Zach says also the third Exorcist movie, sort of. Yeah, and also, and I haven't seen this for a long time either, but didn't House 3 also kind of have a similar kind of thing with a serial killer that could possess people or jump from body or something? I don't know. It feels like there was kind of a lot... There was a lot of those.
Possession was easy to do back then. It didn't require as much fucking special effects. So that was a...
Yeah, that's true, because all you had to do was, like, contort your face and talk in, like, a little bit of a different
way. Put some makeup on.
You know what I mean?
So they showed a lot.
Well, it's weird, because I feel like a few years back, it almost kind of, like, there was another, like, a resurgence of, like, possession movies, you know?
Yeah.
There was a bunch of those. And then Murder Hornet Returns, The Believers, was like Serpent in the Rainbow. Yeah, I like Serpent in the Rainbow better, but The Believers was good too. We talked about that a little while back. Zach says, my favorite Ken Russell movie is Women in Love. You guys should review it sometime. That's the one with Oliver Reed naked wrestling, right? I'm pretty sure.
That's funny.
I saw it a long time ago. I remember liking it. Slasher Friend says, there was a 90s B movie, horror movie called Bats. Yeah, I remember that with Lou Diamond Phillips. That might be on Tubi as well. I have to, like, check that out. And I think, like, I was watching something else about this earlier, and somebody said, yeah, they'd seen an interview with him, like, talking about bats as well. So he's, like, pretty good-natured about it.
Yeah, his mother is Filipina. His dad is Scotch, Irish, and Cherokee.
Man, how did I pull that out of my butt? Yeah. I'm not really sure.
You called it.
I must have heard somebody say that at some point, and it just stuck for whatever reason. Let's see. Strawdog 78 says, three named people are always serial killers or snipers. It does kind of seem like that, doesn't it? Charles Lee Ray. Got all kinds of ones. Tom needs to get some devil horn implants in his forehead.
No, I'm good.
You could get fake ones.
I'm good.
John Gore says, finally got to see FX the other day. God, that's another one I haven't seen in a long time. Wonder if we could see that one again. There's so many movies that I saw back in the day, like on cable or in the theater, and I was kind of like, man, I should watch that one again, but then I forget about it. But then, and I'd kind of forgotten about this one. I thought of it when we were watching The Believers, but then I forgot about it again. But then when I was scrolling through Tubi last night, I was like, oh, hey, it's the first Power. Let's fucking watch it. Yeah, Death Penalty, like Shocker. Yeah, that's another one I probably... I feel like I watched Shocker 5 or 6 years ago. I feel like it was like on the El Rey Network or some shit like that. And I was like flipping through and I was like, oh, that's that Wes Craven movie. I haven't seen that in a long time. And I remember it being like kind of cheesy and over the top. Whereas this one is a lot more serious. Like it takes itself a lot more seriously. Even though, like I said, toward the end, like some kind of outlandish shit happens, like with the ceiling fan blender situation and the flying bag lady and stuff. So, but it still takes itself pretty seriously. You know, it's not like I felt like Shocker was maybe more campy, but I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't remember. Serial killer from beyond the grave, my favorite trope. Yeah. Yeah, what was that guy who was singing Time Is On My Side on the way to the electric chair? Yeah, that was, that was from Fallen, right? Because I kind of feel like, wasn't he, like, singing that song? And that's how you knew that that person was possessed, they started singing that Rolling Stone song? Danny Rowling says, another underrated Lou Diamond Phillips film would have to be the made-for-TV horror film Route 666. Also, Dale Midkiff, he was in Pet Sematary, the original Pet Sematary, and Lori Petty. Huh? I don't think I ever saw that, did I? Huh, well, that's another one that I'll have to, like, investigate. Zach says, for some reason, I want to see this movie, but the psychic is Miss Cleo. Did she die? Why did I just think of that? Is Miss Cleo still alive? Does anybody know? Do you remember Miss Cleo?
No.
She might still be alive, I don't know. I remembered somebody telling me that she died. But she was one of those TV psychics, and she had infomercials, like, out the wazoo, like, all the time, like, on cable back in the old days. And she had, like, a really thick Jamaican accent, and I'm not even really sure if it was a real Jamaican accent. I don't really want to say that it wasn't, because I'm not entirely sure. But there was a lot of, like, scuttlebutt going around that she actually didn't have a Jamaican accent. But I do remember Miss Cleo, though. She was kind of, like, all over the place. Yeah, that's it. Also, Knock Around Guys. Yeah, so a lot of people are seeing some, like, Lou Diamond Phillips. He's actually, like, in a lot more movies than I remembered him in. I remembered his earlier ones. I really liked La Bamba, and I really liked Young Guns. But I couldn't really... And I remember Bats, but I didn't really remember a lot of other ones. Yeah, Sheila Ann says, last thing I saw Lou Diamond in that I liked was the TV show Wolf Lake. So he is still, like, around? Is he still, like, acting? He can't be that old. I mean, he's not that much older than we are.
Yeah, so. He is. He's a good 15 years older than us.
You think?
Yeah, he gotta be.
Hmm. John Gore said, I saw the stage play of The King and I with him in it. Just remembered. Huh. Okay. Yeah, and then we were talking about the Brat Pack. The Coreys were just outside the Brat Pack, a little too young. Yeah, I kind of, when I feel like, you know, Brat Pack, I kind of feel like St. Elmo's Fire meets The Breakfast Club. Like, those people that were in that, that's who I think of.
Now he's about 10 years old, and he's 60.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Oh, and then John Gorris points out, Jason Goes to Hell, Jason was a body jumper. I had forgotten all about that aspect of that. And I just saw that not too long ago, so I really don't have any excuse. But yeah, he could jump into other bodies. Yeah, Miss Cleo died in 2016. How the fuck did I remember that? I don't know. I remember somebody saying that. So, there was that whole thing too. But yeah, so, if you like satanic serial killers from the late 80s, early 90s, if you want to see the movie that Denzel Washington's Fallen sort of ripped off, you know, then watch this movie, because it's not bad. Like I said, I think my favorite thing about it was the stunts. Because, I mean, this has, like, way better stunts than it had any right to have. Particularly, like, all the jumps off the building and everything. And some of the car flips and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's a pretty good flick if you're into that kind of stuff. Better than I remembered it was, that's for sure. So, do you have anything else you would like to add?
Nope, we covered
Mr. Tom Cockknocker Ross.
No, I ain't gonna. You gave me two middle names.
No, it's all one word.
Okay,
it's all one word. I could think of a better one if you want. That was just all I thought of.
This bitch called me a cockknocker. That's how she did. That's how she fucking got.
That's well, I mean, by
how she does.
My middle name might as well be bitch, because that's you just like call me out all the time. Call me I just be Jenny Bitch funny Ashford. And so I kind of feel like it. A middle name.
Call me cock-knock.
It needs to have like a bunch of syllables. You know what I mean? Like Lou Diamond Phillips. That sounds really cool. It sounds like a wrestler name.
That's made up. He made that name up.
You made that up. Yeah, well, the thing about it though is that like a lot of actors make their name up.
Yeah.
Well, because you have to think, like, Lou Phillips isn't a real original name, and there might have already... Oh, shit. What the fuck was that?
Crushing the can.
Oh, God.
Quit. No, I'm fucking redneck today.
Quit,
man,
making, like, all these fucking noises. Crushing the can. He's giving me, like, PTSD with all these fucking sudden noises.
That's
that
how you
makes.
Shock a woman. Just crush a can, and it ends a woman's fucking cold career.
Well,
got PTSD.
Well, I didn't know what you were doing. Yeah, I was just kind of like, can. I thought you broke the chair.
No, I'm good.
Is what I thought you did.
I'm good.
Because I didn't even know you had the can over there. Now I just forgot what I was saying because you keep...
It's about people's names.
It wasn't important.
It's about
Jenny.
People's names.
I can just make all this noise and make you stop talking because no one's paying attention to me.
Do you guys remember what she was talking about? It's about names.
Oh, I said Lou Phillips was either like it's not that distinctive a name, or there might have already been somebody in the Screen Actors Guild that had registered that name.
Right.
So you just have to like add something else to it, and maybe Diamond was like a relative's last name or some shit like that. I don't know. So, and he just said, oh, well, I'll just add that to make it more distinctive. And you still remember it, don't you? So it worked. So, QED.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I gotta say. All right, so I guess we'll wrap it up. We're getting kind of rambunctious up in here. You know, it's Sunday. We're gonna have a good time. And I don't know what we're gonna watch tonight. We'll find something. And then we'll talk about that tomorrow. So have a good rest of your weekend, you guys. And we will see you guys again tomorrow afternoon.